Good evening. This evening we're going to be diving back into discouragement. There are many reasons, of course, why a Christian would become discouraged. We know as we look out into our world that it's broken. And of course, sin is worshiped daily. People rejoice in the midst of sin. They parade around in a sinful lifestyle. And so as the righteous, that can be discouraging. But we must be careful, because discouragement can lead us to consequences. It can lead us to do what is wrong. It can lead us into many dangerous territories in our life if we are not careful. And so, the first thing that can happen when one becomes discouraged, they can pray the wrong prayer. As we see in Numbers chapter 11, starting in verses 14 through 15, we have Moses here. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Then we have Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Verse Kings, the same chapter, verse 10. So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." As we look here at Moses and Elijah, they were dealing with people who were not perfect. They themselves were not perfect. But we see they were driving to a point where they were discouraged, even to the point where they wanted God to take them out of the world. Praying the wrong prayer is not a good thing. I remember an actor that they interviewed before his timely death. He was talking about how he got into fame and fortune. And he said, "I prayed a very dangerous prayer. I prayed and asked God to make me famous, to make me wealthy." And he said, "From that point on, I prayed that he would take it all away, because it drove him down a path that led to self-destruction, that led to drug usage, alcoholism. It drove him down the wrong path, and he wanted nothing more to do with it." Praying the wrong prayer can set us down a path that's not good, that will lead one to destruction. Elijah and Moses here, yes, they were dealing with people. I mean, we look at both of their situations. Moses would become so discouraged and so frustrated with Israel, because we know at that point Israel had disobeyed God. It had gone astray. Elijah, dealing with the same people, Israel, well, not the same, but the same nation, who had spiritually declined so much that he felt, "I'm all alone in this. I'm the only one here who's fighting for you. I'm the only one here being zealous for you." Yes, we live in a world that is broken. We live in a world where free will is given, and you're going to have people who are against you, who go against God, who reject God, who will reject you. It is discouraging. Yesterday was the same day 30 years ago that the Oklahoma City bombing happened. 30 years. We just watched the documentary earlier on it. And you know, I'm sure that is still fresh in people's minds. What happened? I mean, domestic terrorism. And it's discouraging to see that there are people out there who would commit such vile things. But once again, we need to stand strong when bad things happen, when terrible things happen, when we are dealing with sinful and lost people. Because we were once in that spot. We were once in that state of loss. And I'm sure the people that may have dealt with you were frustrated, were discouraged somehow, some way. But praying the wrong prayer can lead to consequences. But on top of that, the second thing that discouragement can lead us into is saying the wrong thing. As we look at Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 5, it says, "Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. And our soul loathes this worthless bread." These people had grown so discouraged after being brought out of Egypt that they spoke, they said the wrong things. They spoke against God. They spoke against his prophet, Moses. Discouragement can lead us to say the wrong things. People blaming God for the problems that are happening in our world. Blaming others, condemning others. It's so discouraging. But once again, we need to be careful. Because as we see in verse 6, the next verse, in Numbers 21, we see that God sent fiery serpents to come down on them. And they were bitten. And we know the story that Moses built a golden serpent. And once they looked upon that, they would be saved. After all God had done for them, they still were discouraged. Even though they were treated badly in Egypt, when they went out into the wilderness, yeah, it was hard, but God provided for them. And even when he did provide, that didn't stop the complaining. That didn't stop the blaming or saying the wrong things. Absolutely not. Be careful with what you say. It can lead to consequences, just like what had happened here and would happen multiple times on down the road. The third, thinking the wrong things. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 3, "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" When we look at John's situation here, he's in prison, and he would die. Now, we know John the Baptist, he's the one. When Christ came to be baptized, what did John say? He's the one. He would baptize him. He would witness what happened that day as the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. He would have heard the things that Christ was doing. And yet here he is sending out two of his disciples to ask Christ, "Are you the coming one, or should we look for another?" And of course, I can understand the discouragement. You're in prison for doing what? Calling out sin? And we know later he would be beheaded. Philippians 4:8. We see Paul telling the Philippians, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What's Paul saying here? They needed to meditate on what was good, to focus on what was good. You know, that was Paul's character. When he was in a bad situation, I'm sure he battled discouragement. But what did he do? And I've said it before. They gave him lemons. He made lemonade. He looked for the good. He meditated. He thought. He prayed. We never see Paul go in the direction that so many do. Well, I'm discouraged. You start thinking the wrong things. God, where are you? Why aren't you here? Well, maybe you don't love me. Those are the wrong things to think. Those are the wrong things to say. We must, once again, understand. And so, my fourth point, and once again, I think that's the wrong title for my point, but Numbers 13, verses 25 through 33. Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 33. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land who are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." When we look at this, they brought back this report. Yeah, the land is flowing with milk and honey. But what did they tell the people about the ones that inhabit the land? They are strong. What can that do? That can discourage others, can't it? And that's what a lot of people do when they are discouraged. It spreads. They discourage others. When you talk negatively, it can affect people. That's one thing I tell others. When we watch the news and when you get fed the news, it's always negative. There's very few positives. And it can bring your mood down so fast, can't it? And so you're thinking here, they're telling, oh, these people are unbeatable. They're too strong. Once again, saying the wrong thing. They're not putting their faith in God. They're not leaning on God. Doom, agony, despair. Israel is not the only nation, the only people who struggled with this. Even under the New Testament, I'm sure there were plenty of others who dealt with discouragement, who were put in bad situations. Think about it. When the great persecution came upon the church, people had to flee not only the city, but their homes, their livelihood, because they followed Christ, because they proclaimed the name of Christ. I'm sure there was discouragement among them, but they fought through it and went wherever they went. They preached Christ because they had faith. They had trust. They put all their trust into God that everything would be okay. And a lot of times, it's hard to do so because we don't take that step back in these moments and look at the bigger picture. And I always, this is a famous saying of mine, a very popular saying from me. We must understand, if we don't take that bigger picture, step back and take that bigger picture, it's easier said than done. You ever heard someone say that? I say it all the time to people. It is. It's easier said than done. I can tell you all day that this is what we should do, but that doesn't make it easy. This would discourage many from wanting to take the land that was promised to them. And so, the fifth thing, doing the wrong things. Yes, discouragement can cause us to go and do the wrong things, to commit sin. And so when we look at Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 11, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rock from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, we must bring water for you out of the rock. Or must we bring water for you out of the rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. What's wrong with this? God commanded Moses to speak to the rock. He was so discouraged. He was so frustrated with the people here that he disobeyed God's command. He struck the rock twice when he was commanded to speak to it. Discouragement can lead one to sin, to going back under sin and living in it. And it happens all the time. And so we must understand and be careful when discouragement comes to lean on God, to run to Him in those moments. Yes, easier said than done, but we must. Because we are in danger. If we allow discouragement to stay in and spread, it's going to cause us to go back under sin. And at that point, we are separated from God. And Moses is here. Moses here is told by God, you will not enter the promised land. You will not cross over the Jordan. He missed out because he allowed discouragement, frustration, to cause him to strike the rock instead of speaking to it. And the final point here, we develop the wrong spirit. As we see in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. In Hebrews 12, 15, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Israel complained many times. They had disputes with one another. And of course, we see that today. Complaining, disputing. We see it everywhere. And it can be discouraging. And it would lead one to become bitter and give up. When we develop that wrong spirit, when we allow the seed of discouragement to come into our life and to sit and grow, it can do a lot of damage. Once again, we are human beings. God knows we're not going to be perfect. Yet we should strive for that perfection. We should do our best. We should do our best to lean on God, to have that faith. I struggle with discouragement from time to time. Everyone does. But as long as we run to Him, run to God, and remain and go to His Word, we can get through anything that life throws at us. One of the most uplifting things to ever see is to see a brother, to see a man or woman choose Christ and to give their life to Christ. Let me tell you, that's an encouragement. To see a brother and sister who had stepped away from the faith to come back, that should uplift us more than anything. There are good things that happen in our world we can look throughout. But the most important thing we need to understand is when we take a step back and look at the bigger picture, the greatest comfort we can have is knowing that God is still in control. Even in the midst of our storms, our trials, whatever we are facing, to understand God is in control, let His will be done. It's the greatest attitude that we can develop as a Christian. No matter if it's a disease or sickness that we are battling, whether it's injuries we are battling, whether it's a temptation, a sin that we are battling, to look to God and to run to Him and to understand you're still in control and I put my complete trust in you, it will help us out big time. And so if you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, understand there's nothing in this world that can help encourage you, to help you get through your troubled times, because it will be a constant battle all the way through. But when you come to Christ, you gain a helper. And you gain more than one. You not only gain Christ, but you gain God and the Holy Spirit. All three will guide and direct you through this life. And let me tell you, I would want God on my side through all of this. Because I know with Him, He is fully in control and He will be a helper to me. To help me through my times of struggles. As long as I come to Him and fully trust in Him and embrace Him in my life. So if you're not a Christian, now's the time to give your life to Him. Allow Him to come into your life to cleanse your life from all sin, to give you a new life, to give you a new heart, a new mind. And this is how you do it. First, you must hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. You must believe that word, John 3:16. You must repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:10. And then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15-16, Galatians 3:26. But then the hard part of the journey begins. We must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. And I promise you, as long as you are faithful to Him, He will be there by your side through everything. Or if you are a Christian, you have become discouraged and have gone back into the sinful lifestyle you once lived. I'm sure you're miserable and I'm sure you're struggling. But come back to Christ this night. Give your life to Him again. Renew your walk with Him. And understand, not only do you have God on your side, but you have a spiritual family, the church, who will encourage you, who will love you and help you through your journey and pray for you in all things. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.